The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yehoshua Grunwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Lakewood, New Jersey, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Nida Daf Mem. The Mishnah that begins this parak starts off, Yoytzei Doifin, Ein Yoishvin Olav Yimei Tumas Yimei Taharas, Ein Chalavin Olav Karbon. A woman that gives birth to a child with a cesarean, so she does not have the halachis of a regular woman that gives birth that has 7 or 14 days of tumah and 33 or 66 days of yimei tahara. Similarly, she's not chayv to bring a karbon. The regular woman that gives birth, isha ki sazria, the old zohar, the old nekeva, she has to bring karbonis, birds, like what it says in the beginning of Pasha Tazria. See here that it's not considered a ledo according to the Tanakamo. It's not a regular birth. It does not fit into the definition of birth of the Torah. So therefore, she does not have those halachas. If she had uterine blood go out through the vagina during the Yitzadoysen, during the cesarean, then obviously she'll have that tumah. But she won't be tummy because of that. But as far as having the days of tumah, because of the Leda, or Fakir, the benefit of the days of Tahara, that she does not have. If Shimon disagrees, and he says, it is considered like a regular birth. This brings us to discuss all the halachis of a child that's born with a cesarean. There are many halachis that are a little different for a child that's born with a cesarean. We can start with another one that's brought on this Amud that the Gemara says, "Moide Abshimin beKotchim Sheinei Kodesh." Kotchim that has a child, the child does not have the same kedushas haguf like the mother, automatically like a regular child born from a carbon. The Gemara says that a child that's born with cesarean, it's going by whether bechar adam, whether bechar behema, there's no din of bechar to a child that's born through a cesarean. The Torah only obligates a father to redeem his firstborn son if it's born that it was the first child coming out of the uterus, coming out of the vagina, not if it's coming out of Yoytzadoifin, that it was cut, it was an incision, and taken out from the stomach. So Shulchan Aruch says, in Hilchas Nachlois, Siman Yesh Ayin Zayin, Siv Zayin, Yoytzadoifin v'abo ha'achar av shnei aminim b'chayrim. I believe this comes directly from the Gemara, that a Yoytzadoifin, a child, the firstborn that's born from a cesarean, that first child does not have a din of a b'chayr for Nachalah. He's not considered a firstborn to be able to get an extra portion of inheritance. The Abba Akhrav, but even the son that comes after him is also not considered a firstborn for inheritance. Harisha in the Fishalei Noilat. The first one, because he was not born. The second one does not have the first din of a firstborn for inheritance since another one came before him. So this is yet another halacha. So far we had that the Mishnah said there's no dinim of tumah and tahara in korban for a child that's born out to die from a cesarean. The Gemara mentioned another halacha that a child that's a firstborn does not have the halachas of pidyon haben if it's born with cesarean. Then we have another halacha that the firstborn with cesarean does not get pishnaim, does not get the extra portion of inheritance if he was born with cesarean, and the child following him also does not get an extra portion because the Prophet he's not gracious, he's not the first of his sperm, he's not the first child of the father to be able to get an extra portion. And Hilchos Pidyon HaBen in Yerudea, Simishin Hei, Sifchav Dalit. So there it says very similarly, Ligabe Pidyon Aven, Yoyte Doifen, a child born with Assyrian, the Hanei Lenachrov, and the next child afterwards, Kedarko, even though the next one is born regularly, Shneim Pituim, they're both exempt from Pidyon Aven. Harishon Mimishliyotin Arechem. The first one does not have a din of Pidyon Aven because it did not come out of the uterus or vagina. Shneim Mimishli Kam Lenachrov, the second one, because another one came before him. So the Taz explains that even though the second child was the first child to come out of the uterus through the vagina, nevertheless, theoretically, he's Petarech and he's the one opening up the womb. Nevertheless, since the second one does not have a din of Zechor L'Nachla, like we said before, because he's not Reishis Oinoi. So we have a Gemara in Bechor that tells us that a Bechor that's only for one, Bechor for one purpose is not a Bechor. Bechor that's of an Echad, if he's only a Bechor for the idea of Petarechen, and not a Bechor for Vladis, for inheritance, he's not a Bechor. So we have established that the child, the boy, firstborn child, born with Caesarean, is not Bechor Lenachla, getting a first portion inheritance. He's not going to be redeemed. Both of them, also the child following, even though the second child was born naturally, was born through the vagina, uterus, vagina, and it is Patarach, and nevertheless, the second one is also not a Bechor, does not get the extra portion of inheritance. And also, it does not have the din of Pidyon Aben. And Rabbi Eiger, going on this Taz, says that since the reasoning of the Taz, since the way the Taz explains the reason of why, which is really a Gemara, why the second child is born after the child born is a Syrian, does not have a din of Pidyon Aben, is because the first one is only because the second one is only, the reason why the second one doesn't have Pidyon Aben is only because the second one is not getting Nachalo. He's not getting the extra portion of inheritance. He's not a Bechor for Nachalo. Says the Rabbi Kiv Eger, I'll give you a case. What happens if the first child that was born with Caesarean ended up dying right away? It was a Napho. And then the mother, then the parents had a second child born naturally through the vagina. Then, says the Bikivayger, this second child will have a din of Pidyon Aben. Since in such a case, the halacha is, if you look back into Chayish Mishpat and the halachas of Nachalos, in such a case, the second child will get an extra portion of inheritance. The Minchas Yitzchok, though, however, points out, this is a Minchas Yitzchok in Chelek Dalet Simen Nun, that if the first child that was born with a Syrian died right away, but when he came out he was alive and he lived for a day or so, so then, even though he died shortly after birth, nevertheless, there's reason to say that the second child will not get extra portion inheritance. And being that it's a Sufik, so therefore it's like a din of a Sufik Pidyon Aben. Whenever it's a din of Sufik Pidyon Aben, it's Potter. Since it's a Sufik, since it's a question, a doubtful obligation to the Kohen, we have a rule in Mamonis, whoever is trying to get money out of a second, they have to prove it. So, being that it's such, being that it's a Sufik, it's a doubt, if there's a Chiyuv Pidyon Aben, when there's a doubt of Pidyon Aben, there's no Pidyon Aben at all. So it says in the Minchas Yitzchok that although Rabbi Kivayger says that if the first child that was born through the Caesarean died, was a Napho, then the second one that's born naturally does have a din Pidyon Aben, and in other words also has a din that he gets inheritance. Nevertheless, if the first one lived, came out alive, and lived for a short time, then even though it died right away, the second one would still not have a din of Pidyon Aben. Another important application of Caesarean is that, like the Mishnah says, a lady does not have the din of imetayai, imetame, imetuma, does not have the din of carbon for a child that's born with a Caesarean. So too, if the child is born with a Caesarean, if it's a boy, and it's born on Shabbos with a Caesarean, there's no din to be mal the child on the eighth day, and if it's not Doicha Shabbos, it doesn't have a din that it's Doicha Shabbos, and therefore Yoytza Doifin cannot have a bris mila done on Shabbos. A child, a boy born with a Caesarean on Shabbos cannot have his bris mila done the following Shabbos. He must wait until after Shabbos. Similarly, if it's Yom Tif, he cannot have his bris mila done on Yom Tif. He will have to wait until his bris mila, until after Yom Tif, to have his bris mila, even though he's waiting till the 9th or 10th and possibly even 11th, if it's a 3-day Yom Tif, even 11th day after he's born. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was asked an interesting question. This is in Sefer Nishmas Avraham, Veyredeya Simen Shinhei. He says, back in Hilchos Bris Mila, this Nishmas Avraham, he says that he says that somebody asked Shlomo Zalman Auerbach the following question. What happens if there's a boy that's born with a Caesarean 8 days before the second day of Yom Tov? Okay, so as we said, even the second day of Yom Tov, we cannot be mal. If the eighth day after the baby is born comes out on the second day of Yom Tov, we have to postpone the bris until after Yom Tov, even after the second day of Yom Tov. But what happens if we have a moyel here in Chutz La'aretz, here in a place out of Eretz Yisrael, where we keep 2 days of Yom Tov, and the moyel came from Eretz Yisrael? A moyel who's a citizen of Eretz Yisrael, in other words, he keeps 1 day Yom Tov, he's planning on going back, and he's a citizen of Eretz Yisrael, and he only keeps 1 day Yom Tov in front of us. He can't be mechal. He's not mechal. He's not allowed to be mechal Shabbos or Yom Tov. He's not allowed to do things that are desecration of Shabbos and Yom Tov, because that would be a zulzul to the Yom Tov. But be'etzem, in essence, he doesn't really have a din of Yom Tov. So can this moyel that came from Eretz Yisrael perform the bris mila on the second day of Yom Tov, which is the eighth day after the baby was born? Since for this moyel, it's not really Yom Tov. Or perhaps we cannot allow the moyel that's from Eretz Yisrael to perform the bris mila, because it will make the strictness of the second day of Yom Tov be light in the eyes of everyone. Perhaps we cannot allow him to perform the bris. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, this is quoted, it's also brought down in Nishmas Avraham, Reish Samachvav, Yerideya, that like this. If the question would be on a regular second day of Yom Tov, on a regular child that's born, if someone has 2 mayalim, either a mayal from Eretz Yisrael or a mayal from Chutz La'aretz, if someone wants to say, let me better use a mayal from Eretz Yisrael, since the mayal from Eretz Yisrael doesn't have Yom Tov, so there's less chilul Yom Tov by using a mayal from Eretz Yisrael. If that would be the question, says the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he would say not to use the mayal from Eretz Yisrael. One should not make preference of using the mayal from Eretz Yisrael just to avoid the chilul of Yom Tov, because that will make it look like a zulzul to Yom Tov. Will make it look like that there's theoretically there's room to say it's not really Yom Tov on the second day in Chutz La'aretz. However, In this case, where the baby was born with a cesarean, and today is the eighth day after the baby was born, and the moil is from Eretz Yisrael, so says the Pshamim of Amarei Bachachidush that if people don't know, if the Hamoyin Am doesn't know that the baby was born with cesarean, people think, the onlookers think that the baby was born naturally. They don't know what happened in the hospital. They think the baby was born naturally. If that's the case, then we could be mal the baby on the eighth day using a moil from Eretz Yisrael, since it does not appear to people. People that don't realize that the baby is born with cesarean, they don't realize that there's any issue of being mal this baby on the second day of Yom Tov. So since the way it looks like, there's no chilul of Yom Tov. And in essence, there's no chilul of Yom Tov because this moil is really somebody from Eretz Yisrael. So says the Shem HaTam Rebach, then it's permitted to use the moil that's from Eretz Yisrael. One final discussion pertaining to a child that's born with cesarean. Place can discuss, there's a Chok Yaakov in the halachas of Erev Pesach. Now, we know that a Bechor fast on Erev Pesach, there's a minhag of a Bechor fast on Erev Pesach. So this Bechor, if the firstborn was born with cesarean, so he said he's not getting a first portion of inheritance, and he did not have a Pidyon Yaben. But what's the halacha pertaining to him fasting on Erev Pesach? So the Chok Yaakov has a topic about this. And the later poiskim, the Kafachayim and the Be'er Moshe, they say that since it's a suffix, so it's a suffix of a minog, so a suffix of a minog we can be make also the Bechor doesn't have to fast. But on the other hand, the Yaakov Kamenetsky and Sif Emes Yaakov, and the Torah Tov Menvov and the Mishnishmet Avram in Yoyerdeya Simishin Hei brings down Yerushalayim Tamun Erebach based on the Yad Shol in Yoyerdeya Simishin Hei. They say that a Bechor should fast. So in today's day, it's not so difficult. Wherever they go, there's a Siyum around. Almost every minyan has a Siyum, so it's only a matter anyways where the Chayrim are noyig that they just listen to a Siyum and then they eat. So it's not such a big deal. So it would seem that such a Bechor should b'chatchila listen to a Siyum, and like this they'll satisfy all opinions of whether or not they should follow the minig of fasting, being that they are Bechor, which is a Yoytze Doifen.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.